Morning, everybody. How are you all? About 50 in the room in front of us, and I don't know how many on the phone, but we also have phoners, and I want to welcome each people on the phone, journalists on the phone and in the room, to the Craft Brewers Conference and Brew Expo America Press Conference. Because participants are on the phone, when we get to our question and answer period, if you can come up to the microphone and ask any questions, then they will be able to hear it as well. For those of you that don't know the Brewers Association, we're the national nonprofit trade group that represents the majority of breweries in the United States. We exist to promote and protect small and independent craft brewers and work to advance the beverage of beer along with the hobby of home brewing. And many of our web resources are available to all interested parties beyond just members. We publish books, magazines, websites, events, competitions, as well as industry statistics representing the beverage of beer in the U.S. and production. Our efforts reach millions upon millions of beer lovers and tens of thousands of industry stakeholders, along with 46,000 plus homebrewing members of the American Homebrewers Association. We desire access to market for all brewers, and the Craft Brewers Conference theme, as a matter of fact, is succeeding in a competitive marketplace. We definitely have evolving times. We'll probably be touching upon that here today. And I wanted to say that we're each privy to one of the most historic times in beer, so you as journalists have a front row seat, and that it's a fascinating time to be a beer lover as well as be involved in the association. We have different journalists involved in this presser, so just be aware we have trade, business, and lifestyle, so some of the content or questions will be more geared towards individual needs. We're each going to present here for 5 minutes, and then we will dive into questions. So at this moment in time, I'm going to introduce my colleague, Bart Watson, the chief economist for the Brewers Association. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia. Is this on? Hello? Excellent. So I just wanted to briefly run through the kind of highlights of the state of the industry as well as our growth release, which you can find on our website. Talked about this on stage, but we saw, you know, tremendous growth in 2016 in the number of breweries, up to 5,301 breweries operating in all or part of 2016. We also saw growth in both production and dollar sales. Production was up 6%, up to 12.3% market share. And dollar sales growth was even stronger, up to 21.9% dollar share. I've written a longer explanation of this on the website, but I'm sure there will be some questions about kind of growth versus share and the different changes there. You know, growth is done on a comparable base every year, so we're looking at the, you know, the people who were in the independent brewer data set this year and comparing the growth. So those brewers grew 6%, and so it doesn't line up perfectly with the share numbers, which, you know, include in 2015 the brewers who still were in that data set last year. You know, in talking about the slowdown, I think we see, you know, it's more competitive out there. Certainly there's more breweries, there's more challenges as large brewers have acquired as well. That's slowed independent growth to a certain extent since those acquired brands are still growing in the marketplace and competing, particularly in channels that are difficult for independent brewers to access. I think we're also seeing a slowdown, and I broke this down kind of top states and bottom states in the state of the industry, because we are seeing some markets that are, you know, have matured, and it's harder to get high-end growth. You know, that's not just in craft, but in, you know, all high-end with, you know, premium plus and imports as well. But there are certainly markets where if you look at the scan data, you know, the high-end now has 70% of the dollar sales, and you're really just not going to be able to get the same growth there without, you know, growing the overall pie, and beer sets some challenges. So kind of a quick general summary, and I'm sure we'll get more detailed questions about this in the Q&A. There's still growth out there. I mean, craft had its fifth best year all time in adding barrels at 1.4 million barrels, but it's not as universal as it used to be. We're not seeing it, you know, as broadly across business models or across place. And given the number of breweries out there, it's more fractured than ever before. So, you know, Paul mentioned this, but it's not a rising tide lifts all boats. And, you know, there's going to be more competitive challenges for individual companies, you know, given their individual markets and their business decisions going forward.
Thank you, Bart, very much. At this moment in time, I'm going to introduce Paul Gatza, the director of the Brewers Association. And I just want to say, for those that might not be aware, the hashtag, if you're tweeting, is hashtag or pound sign CBC17 or @BrewersAssoc for Brewers Association.
Thank you, Julia. I'm here to touch on a couple things. One is what's new here at CBC this year. The other is to talk about some of our technical work that may not be as evident in some of our discussions from the main stage or side seminars. You know, we're here in D.C. We were here in 2013, and one of the things we learned here was that D.C. has a lot to offer the Brewers Association when we do a conference here. We had a hill climb earlier this week with a whole bunch of our members. We have access to the Tax and Trade Bureau. They're the main regulatory body for the brewing industry and all beverage alcohol. So we invited the Tax and Trade Bureau to do a TTB boot camp on Monday. So we had 4 hours of basic TTB training. Over 40% of brewery labels are not approved their first time through. And so we're helping our members, you know, comply so it saves them administrative time, and also the quicker we can get things through TTB, the more time they have for us. So it's a really great asset for us here in D.C. We also have right now speaking is TTB Administrator John Manfreda, who, you know, to have a very high government official as a guest here is important for us. It's important for the relationship we have with the TTB as well as for, you know, our members to hear what is on the TTB's agenda. Also here, we started funding the Smithsonian National Museum of American History last year for their brewery historian on the brewery initiative that they're doing, and that is pretty exciting. It allowed us to, that relationship that we've built there allowed us to do a couple of receptions over there earlier this week. Our welcome reception was a combined there and the National Museum of American History, and it's really fun to, you know, be among all the shiny objects in the gem collection the other night. And also, it allows us to have congressional representative participation, such as Representative Peter DeFazio, who spoke to our general session yesterday. And it's, you know, it's nice to be in D.C. because we do have that type of access. Another thing we did a little different this year is doing a dual keynote model. Some of the comments from members in the past is we asked for, you know, ways to improve the conferences. They liked us to sort of step away from an in-industry keynote to get someone who could stretch the minds a little bit, someone maybe more inspirational, and we've done that the last 4 years. But then some other members were saying, you know, we really like someone within the industry who knows what we're doing, who can, you know, help provide some perspective there and some inspiration from that viewpoint. So we decided, okay, we're going to do an out-of-industry keynote and an in-industry keynote this year. So we'll have to see what kind of feedback we get on that, but that was something new and different for us. Another thing we're doing is longer trade show hours. The trade show has gotten quite large, and it's really hard for everyone to get to all the booths they want to get to. So we added a couple hours on the final day. It's going to 3 o'clock in the afternoon there. And if you've been through the trade show, it's big. 895 exhibitors, and I don't know what the final square footage was, but it's probably somewhere in the 500,000 square feet of exhibit space. And it's nice to be around the trade show floor and how vibrant it is. Haven't been to the hospitalities yet, but hopefully I'll get a chance to get there later today. One other thing we did on the front side is safety is very important to our members, and we're providing more resources. The Brewers Association bought some safety equipment and did a hands-on safety boot camp on Monday as well, and that was the first thing that sold out for this year's conference. And it was, you know, good to really help our members understand, you know, the physical aspects of how you are more safe in a brewery. So that was a very successful thing, and I expect that we'll continue that safety boot camp going forward. On the technical brewing side, I want to touch on that we are, the Brewers Association has invested over $500,000 this year into very direct grants to researchers in the areas of the supply chain, so hops and barley. We have 14 grants out there on the barley side, and we have 8 grants out there on the hop side, and we're putting a significant investment out there to, you know, help secure, make sure that brewers have enough of hops and barley, but also to make sure that those hops and barley are aimed at what craft brewers need. And so we're, you know, trying to ensure the future a little bit through that research piece. You know, the government is funding less in the way of agricultural research nowadays, and so we are stepping up to kind of fill that void. You know, quality work from the association. If you were up in the general session, you saw the emphasis on quality, you know, heavily through the panel, through Dick's comments in his keynote address. You know, we've been emphasizing that for a few years, and this year we decided to take another little step in that direction to, you know, keep it in the forefront. Quality is something that impacts not just the brewer and the brands where there are problem beers, but impacts the whole segment. So we want to make sure that everybody gets to, you know, a strong level of quality. Some of the other activities we've put together there is Mary Pelletieri's book, Quality Management, the quality pyramid that you saw on the main stage, the investment in the quality ambassador to visit guilds, as well as a quality instructor. And this fall, we're going to be doing a couple of quality workshops in breweries, one in the Northeast, one in the Southeast, where we're going to basically do a, you know, all-day hands-on quality-focused workshop, and that's what Mary Pelletieri is going to be doing for us there in the fall. Publication coming out real soon is the Draft Beer Quality Manual version 3. Is nearing publication, so that should be out pretty soon. So we keep, you know, that's a project we started 2008 or so, and it's time for the latest round of updates. And another thing we recently did was successfully put on our website a FDA menu labeling tool. Starting in early May, chain restaurants of 20 or more units are required to have on menus or menu boards calories. As well, available upon request, 10 other nutrients are required. And so what we've done is built a tool. We consulted with the FDA on creating this database. It's got calculators so a brewer can determine their calories and their carbohydrates. That's something that the FDA really wants a very precise number on. But then the other 9 lesser nutrients are available by style, and I think we're at 41 styles with another 20 coming in the next week. So we've done a lot of lab testing to develop this database, and it's a lot of work. I've been working on this project for 7 years, and it's good to have it finally wrapping up. I'll pass it back to you, Julia.
Thank you very much, Paul. And at this time, I'll introduce Bob Pease, the CEO and president of the Brewers Association.
Good morning. How's everyone? I'm going to be speaking about 3 different topics this morning to you guys. I'm going to talk about a little bit about diversity. It's a topic that's been percolating in our world for the last, year, 18 months. Talk a little bit about our updated advertising and marketing code. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about some of our government affairs activities. So if you were in the general session this morning, you heard Paul tease the fact that we will be launching a permanent committee, our diversity committee here at the Brewers Association. We had our first meeting this week during the Craft Brewers Conference. The overall goal of the committee is to bring a more diverse group of brewers and beer lovers into our community. I think all of us think that craft brewing community has always prided itself on being very inclusive, but I think we want to find ways to get more people into our world. We're going to be focusing our attention on activities that will advance diversity and inclusion and promoting education and industry participation among underrepresented ethnic and gender groups. At the end of the day, this type of activity has to be something that will benefit our member breweries. That's kind of one of our guiding lights are these resources going to help our members sell more beer? And we firmly believe it. Attention in this area will do just that. In the discussions that we've been having at the BA about the topic of diversity, you know, one of the things I think we've come to realize is that I don't think diversity is a problem to be solved, but really it's more like a value to be lived. And that's where our hearts and minds are going to be when we tackle this challenging subject. Scott Metzger of Freetail Brewing Company is going to be the chair of the diversity committee. And you heard Paul probably mention that as well. Some of the other members of the committee include Lynn Weaver from Three Weavers Brewing Company in Inglewood, California, Kevin Blodger from Union Craft Brewing Company in Baltimore, Laura Bell from Bell's Brewing Company, and Julie Verratti from Denizens Brewing Company here in Silver Spring, Maryland. Some kind of tangentially related to that would be an update to our advertising and marketing code. You probably also heard Paul maybe mention that from the main stage about how it's been certainly been quite a bit of attention, and I would applaud the members of the media for keeping the flame burning bright on the subject of offensive labels in beer marketing. So we have always had an advertising and marketing code since 2008 for the Brewers Association. And so we've updated the language in the advertising and marketing code to, try to put the emphasis on we want our members to be responsible corporate citizens. So the new language is going to address offensive and explicit beer labels. And one of the things that we're going to be implementing around the advertising and marketing code is for breweries that win medals at the Great American Beer Festival or at the World Beer Cup, if in our estimation the label or the name of the brewery is offensive, lewd, demeaning, we will certainly not, they're still going to win their medal or their award, but we won't allow them to market their award using our intellectual property. We're not going to want to see our name associated with labels or marketing efforts that we feel, further damaging stereotypes. Third thing I'm going to talk about a little bit is some of our government affairs activities here in both Boulder, D.C., and at the state level. Paul mentioned our hill climb that we did here in conjunction with the CBC. We had 233 participants from all 50 states, and we visited about 340 congressional offices. Our main topic of emphasis was advocating for support for the Craft Beverage Modernization and Tax Reform Act. That's a measure that many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with. Recalibrates the federal excise tax for all beer, not just craft beer, also wine and spirits. Lots of support for this initiative. Right now, 119 House co-sponsors, 32 Senate co-sponsors, broad bipartisan bicameral support. We've been at this for a long time, for those of you that have been here with us for a while. But the environment certainly has changed in Washington in many ways. But one of the ways that it's changed is there's a lot more energy behind the concept of comprehensive tax reform. So our strategic play there is to try to be part of the conversation when tax reform moves. Some of the other things we've been working on at the state level with regards to state issues would be, and you caught the award, the FX Matt Award being awarded today to the Guild Leader from Mississippi for helping pass a law in that state that allows Mississippi breweries to sell beer at their brewery. And Georgia is quickly on the heels, so they'll now have all 50 states will have the rights to, and I kind of push back on the notion sometimes in language people use the word privilege. We think that's a right for a brewery to be able to do that at their place of business. So when the Georgia law passes, all 50 states will allow breweries the right to sell beer at their place of business. But we certainly are seeing pushback at the state level on trying to rescind or curtail those rights. Very high profile, I don't know what the right word is, law, drama, scene going playing out here in Maryland. And we're also seeing similar developments in Nebraska and Nevada and Montana. So those are things that the Brewers Association, how we engage in those is from the big picture perspective, it's the support of the state guilds. And then once the issue percolates up at the state level, then we work with the guild to support them in any way we can, offering legal resources or activating what we call our Support Your Local Brewery Network, where we can engage a pretty powerful grassroots engagement at the state house level. I think with that, one other thing I want to talk about with the state guilds is to make sure that people are aware that we've been successful in that state. Now all 50 states have a state guild. The next big emphasis for us was helping all state guilds have a paid executive director. So to support that and show that our commitment to that, we funded 9 grants in 2016 to the tune of about $200,000, where we doled out grants to state guilds for them to hire paid executive directors. That program continues in 2017, and our thinking there is that once the state has a guild, next step is get that paid executive director. They get the paid executive director. That guild can then be active in generating revenue, membership dues, holding events, and then they can have the ability to engage both on the promotional level for them, behalf of their members, but also engage at the protect level and the government affairs, and have a presence at the state capitol on behalf of their members in all 50 states. So there, I'll stop.
Great and appreciated updates, Bob. Thank you very much. Before I go into just a few bullets from my side of it on the craft beer program side, and this is Julia Herz for those who are just calling in, I wanted just to circle back on what Paul was mentioning on our triangle of emphasis, what I call it. And again, it's really worth emulating, especially for trade press, the emphasis that the BA puts to resources for brewers to make the beverage of beer better and to help them doing that. And that triangle emphasis of quality as on main stage with the panel, safety and sustainability. We have ambassadors in both of those arenas, which shows our further investment. And if you think about, Paul mentioned the new draft beer quality manual version 3.0, 30% of beer sales from craft brewers is draft compared to 10% for the mass domestics. So this really is an arena that craft brewers should be leading in and taking, carrying the ball further down the line. Also on the safety effort, a nice little stat, 78,000 views and completions of our safety videos that are OSHA training in the craft brewing industry, training courses focused on specific tasks that are performed in a brewery. That's an incredible resource that the BA has put time behind towards helping develop our membership in that arena of safety tied to grain handling, brewing, and packaging, and just ensuring that our members are safe in their places of work. So want to let you guys know a little bit of news and tidbits. We will be announcing a new class of membership in the fall. The Brewers Association will be expanding membership to include educational institutions. We just had an educator roundtable meeting of a fledgling group that has been coming together of beer-minded universities and institutions and even culinary institutions. They've been meeting for several years. We see this emerging part of the craft brewing community, and we want to do what we can to nurture them. So that new class of membership will drop in the fall and just announced today. We also want to let you guys know we're starting a B-roll and stock photography program, keeping in mind your needs as journalists. We get asked a lot of requests through Rosengroup or direct to spokespersons for us. Can you get me some B-roll or from photography? We will be rolling that out shortly. It'll be through an email address that you can request what you need. Doesn't mean we'll always have it, but we are working on getting this started. ba@rosengrouppr.com. And you guys should all know that the Rosen Group is the media relations agency for the Brewers Association. And then in terms of brewersassociation.org, where we stream our main channel for our trade and industry information and also for media, get an RSS feed. A lot of media, to me, circle back after we've dropped something, and we certainly do have Rosen Group emailing you, but if you want what we publish on BA.org when it's published, just sign up for an RSS feed. Good little tip for you. On to craftbeer.com, our beer lover-facing website, which really has become the main place where readers can find stories about small and independent craft brewers. This amazing resource at the URL of craftbeer.com has been around since 2009. Jeff Baker, our new editor-in-chief, is in the room, been a great asset to that. And this is about small and independent craft brewers and the cities that support them. Our list of contributors for that website continues to grow in sharing, from a diverse group of writers about a very diverse group of 5,300 breweries. So just want to encourage and remind you that website's there for story ideas and information. On the beer and food front, thousands have accessed our beer and food course. Just at Craft Brewers Conference, we're releasing this in my hand, which is also available on craftbeer.com/culinary, the newest version of the beer and food course, co-authored by myself and Chef Adam Dooley, the executive chef of the Brewers Association. This is an amazing program that is now 3 years strong from the BA, investing in helping the culinary leaders and beer educators of today lead in beer and food pairing. And we're seeing excellent success with universities, including Cornell, Culinary Institute of America, Metro State, Johnson & Wales, et cetera, use our resources to develop their curriculums in their teachings. We want to also, on Thursday, the Beer and Food Working Group will be presenting here at the Craft Brewers Conference. great developments there from a combined effort of like-minded organizations that the BA has put together. So we've got the American Society of Brewing Chemists, the Cicerone Certified Program, and the BA with staff, as well as the Denver Museum of Nature and Science, continuing to advance our work in the beer and food arena. We'll be launching at that seminar a beta test of a new beer and food working sheet for those in the education realm, the retail realm, and our brewer realm that work in beer and food. So that's a good one that look for that resource soon enough to be available in the public space. And we also, just this week, are launching a new externship, announcing it here at the press conference, for our members with the Culinary Institute of America. So we want to see more trained chefs in breweries from culinary institutions, and this is a new externship program that U.S. brewery members will be able to apply to, as well as retailer members, to get these chefs into their establishments. Paul mentioned the Smithsonian. I just want to let you guys know that in year two of this initiative, we have the brewing historian, if you're reporting on this, the brewing historian, not beer historian, because she's about brewing and documenting from 1960 to today the incredible revolution and advancement, right, of home brewers and the craft brewing community and the historic weight and nature of that in our country. You can follow her on hashtag beer history, really standing room only for that seminar the other day, so that was super cool to see. Two last items, American Craft Beer Week, May 15th to the 21st. Whether you report on American Craft Beer Week or not, although we hope you do, it's a great time to peg your stories, time your stories, and drop your stories during that very large week that has historically in the last 4 years celebrations in all 50 states across the U.S. celebrating small and independent craft brewers. And then for those of you that are D.C. regionally oriented, might want to consider knowing that the BA will be back in D.C. for SAVOR, June 2nd and 3rd. It's the premier beer and food event in the United States. A lot of good developments this year for the 10th year anniversary of that amazing pairing-centric event. And if you're interested to attend, you can certainly talk to the Brewers Association about that. So now we will go to question and answer phase. We also, if we run out of time, do have cards that the Rosen Group will be passing out. So if we run out of time for questions, and we request that if you're in the room, you line up in front of the microphone, but you can write your questions down, and we will absolutely get back to you on those. So I will open it up, and we will get directed for, we'll take turns for questions from the phone to questions in the room, and let's have at it.
At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We'll pause a moment to allow questions to queue.
So I'll let the phone questions start to stack up, and we have Ben up at the microphone first. Hello.
Hi. Hello. Ben from Beer Advocate. I guess my question is, excuse me.
A little microphone adjustment.
For Bob, but anybody, I would love to hear from anyone. Could you expand a little more on your diversity initiative in terms of what your first event might be later this year and maybe some of the concerns that the breweries on your committee, union, Three Weavers, et cetera, have shared with you guys that you're looking to address?
Well, we've only had our first meeting here at CBC, so can't commit to any specific programs or activities at this point. Some of the ideas that we kicked around at our meeting the other day were the idea of perhaps funding a scholarship program for minority candidates at brewing schools. Another idea that we kicked around was the BA could be in a position to help man or support a craft brewer pavilion at an event in a minority neighborhood where, you know, typically you might not see the BA being engaged in. So those are just some of the ideas that were explored. First, we'll start engaging in regular meetings, and we'll have a plan that the way our activities work at the Brewers Association, we start in the summer of planning for next year and then budgeting. And so in the 2018 BA strategic plan, there will be activities and budget allocations for activities on behalf of the diversity committee.
Also emphasize we're looking at 2017 as an information gathering year on the topic of diversity and getting a sense of what our membership based on that committee desires. We'll also be looking to gather more data on the community of craft brewers and getting more of a definitive answer on how diverse it actually is. Okay, would we go to the phone now, please?
We'll take our first question from Kat Walensky of Men's Journal. Please go ahead.
Please go ahead. Unmute your phone.
Kat, your line is open.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Hi, Julia, how are you?
Very good.
Sorry, technical issues. This question might be for Bob as well. I was wondering, when did we reach the point that all 50 states have a Brewers Guild? And of those, how many of these currently have paid executive directors?
I'm going to defer that question to my colleague, Mr. Gatza.
It was either 2014 or 15 where the 50th state formed a guild. I believe that was North Dakota was the last one. And D.C. also has one. So really there's 51 state guilds. Plus there's also, we've seen regional guilds develop, such as San Diego Brewers Guild. There's a whole bunch of those around the country with a lot of them in California. In terms of how many have executive directors, don't have the exact number, but I believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 or 41 right now. I'd have to take a look at the list, and we are expecting more applications. We do have money in the budget to cooperatively fund executive directors in the states that don't have them.
And for those of you that might be new to the BA resources, we encourage you as journalists to always be working actively with your executive director or state guild leaders. Brewersassociation.org has a full list of all state 50 brewers guilds. And for insider baseball trivia, it happened the same year that home brewing became legal in all 50 states. All righty, Oliver.
Hi, Oliver Gray. I'm pleased about the focus on quality, obviously, but I was even more pleased to hear Mary mention Six Sigma in the discussion this morning. I work in the IT industry full-time outside of this, and I was curious if the BA has any plans to kind of adopt an industry standard, maybe even tied to like certification, so a brewery can say they're either like ISO 9000 or the Six Sigma, or maybe even one that the BA develops themselves. I'm just curious if that's in the plan at all.
An idea on certification there would have to bubble up through our quality subcommittee to our technical committee, and that group is not focused on certification right now. There's lower-hanging fruit to pick right now in the quality areas, and a lot of it's dealing with education. But I could see that group looking at certification down the road.
And we'll go to the phone. Oh, we're going to go next. Go ahead, please, in the room.
Chris Kroll here from Craft Brewing Business. This is for Bart. Just wondering if there's any trends at all to be gleaned from the closings that have happened. I know the number still isn't really that high comparatively, but is it geography? Is it just newer brewers that didn't have a plan? Is it established brewers that kind of fell out of favor? I just wonder if there's anything at all to glean from that.
Great question, and you know, one of the things I have our brewery tracking team do is every time they find a closing, you know, give me a kind of quick synopsis of what they think caused the closing. And, you know, it's really all over the board and in line with the challenges of running a small business. I think we see them being business challenges, you know, running a business, making sure you were capitalized at the right level. For brew pubs, we often see, you know, service issues cited. The beer and food were fine, but, you know, you had to wait too long for a table or there was, you know, rude or poor service. With small businesses, there's all sorts of reasons for closures. You know, sometimes, you know, partners don't get along, or, you know, if it's a husband-wife team, we see divorces. Breweries that didn't sign leases for a long enough period of time are in a neighborhood that's rapidly gentrifying and so can't afford new rent levels. So it's really all over the board. The vast majority of closings continue to be small. As Paul mentioned on stage, we have seen a few higher-profile bankruptcies in recent months. So, you know, we'll see if those turn into closures or if they're able to restructure. But it's really been all over the board, and I think just, you know, shows the challenges of running any small business, you know, let alone a capital-intensive brewery.
Okay. Next in the room, please.
Hi, my name is Greg from DCBeer.com. By the way, thank you for referring to D.C. as a state. You know, we were a real place, not just, you know, the folks on Penn Ave, so I appreciate that. I wanted to talk a little bit about more about the diversity committee. So, do you feel that you kind of implied that the diversity issue in craft beer is tied to the, you know, level of stagnation in the growth of sales? I was wondering if you explicitly thought that was the case, where in order to grow the pie, you'd have to increase the diversity of the community.
I think when it comes to that, it's more about we know how much we don't know. So I wouldn't say I would agree with, you know, how you characterized it. Again, what we want to do is learn how we can bring the message of craft to the biggest number of beer drinkers all across this country.
Okay, next.
My name is Sonora, and I'm with Stouts and Stilettos. I wanted to ask you a bit more about not allowing people with offensive labels or names to advertise their awards. I wanted to ask a bit about how you plan to develop that criteria and if that criteria would be made public for who wouldn't be able to advertise that.
The Brewers Association Advertising and Marketing Code will live on our website, so it will be public. Brewers that enter the Great American Beer Festival or the World Beer Cup will, as part of their entry, sign a licensing agreement that you know, dictates the terms of them being able to use our intellectual property. And then we will empanel a review group that will look at any names that that have won awards and that could be deemed offensive.
Independent outside industry review group.
Yeah, not staff.
Okay.
Hello, Matthew Curtis, Good Beer Hunting. My question's for all of you, but probably more appropriate for Bob. We've seen exports to the UK grow over the last few years. We've become the second largest market for BA-defined craft beer. What are the BA going to do to ensure that US craft brewers, your members, work with the market instead of compete with aggressive pricing and dumping capacity? Is there something you can do to ensure that our market and European markets in general are supported as U.S. craft becomes much bigger overseas?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of things we can do there. I mean, our activities in the international market are guided and developed through our export development program and our export development program committee. One of the biggest roles that the export development program fills is that of a facilitator. So what I mean by that is we try to inform and educate the members of the committee about the opportunities that exist for them in the international marketplace. And then at the same time, we are trying to find suitable trade partners for our members in the, you know, in the UK or in any other of our target markets. And one of the things we do with those trade partners is educate them on the absolute mandate for quality in terms of transportation, storage, and distribution within an export market. So emphasis on cold chain is top of the list for us. We'd love to see breweries ship cold to a temperature-controlled warehouse and partner with an importer and distributor that has the ability to deliver the beer cold. We obviously are not in a position to mandate that, but that is, you know, that's our message. And then the other thing I would say in terms of, like, you know, we would agree with you that we don't want export markets to become a dumping ground for beer. Our message to our members about the export program is not you must export, 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 export. It's to say here are the opportunities that exist for you in the international marketplace. Here are some potential trading partners, and here are the pitfalls.
And we just published the 2016 export numbers on brewersassociation.org, up 4.4% for growth of barrels. And it's chugging along. All right, still to the room is my understanding. Jeff?
Hi, Jeff Cialetti. Just a question that's probably more for Bart. The 6% growth number for 2016,
mm-hmm.
How much is that a function of breweries leaving the BA definition of craft? And also as far as 2017 is concerned, what are you seeing so far? Has that number sort of stabilized, settled in the 6% range? Or?
You know, it's harder than ever to get a quick handle on what growth is because we've seen so much of it shift into the tail, which doesn't necessarily get measured by scan data or point of sale. And you know, with premises use, you know, being a bigger portion of the growth as well, you know, direct at the brewery sales, you know, and that's going to be really hard to see this year since the TTB is changing reporting requirements for the smallest breweries, so they won't even have to report quarterly, but we're going to get a big dump at the end of the year. To the first part of the question, how much of it has to do with leaving, you know, very little. I mean, I guess, you know, if the breweries that were still in the data set, well, and again, you know, it depends on how you do this. I mean, if you include, you know, some of the large brewer-owned brands, you know, it would actually be lower. If you include some of the fast-growing brands that exited, it would be higher. So, you know, that's not our goal. We're trying to measure the brewers who remained independent. But what we do every year, and I have a longer post on the site that lays this out hopefully very clearly, but is, you know, we create a comparable base. So all the brewers are in the data set this year. We look at their numbers from last year, and that's where the 6% comes from. So we're not comparing apples to oranges, and we're not, you know, it's not like it would have been 12% if we still had that 1.2 million barrels in. You know, what we're comparing is apples to apples. So the breweries that were in our data set grew 6% last year.
Thank you, Jeff. We got a phone call and a question. If you can go ahead on the phone, please.
Chat Walensky, your line is open.
Hi, this question is also for Bart. You mentioned early on that the high end was responsible for 70% of dollar sales. Were you referring to the AB InBev division, and what exactly does that mean?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah,
sorry, it was a little hard to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bart said in the beginning of the conference that the high end was responsible for 70% of dollar sales. I was wondering if you could expand on that.
So that was referring more generically. I was not referring to the AB division.
Okay.
And what that was referring to is that, you know, we are seeing geographies where we've seen this longer run trend toward premiumization, where the beer market has been trading up, and we've seen, you know, first the value in old regional brands, and then now, you know, premium and premium light brands losing share to, you know, a collective higher priced point set of beers. This is, you know, from small and independent brewers, but also from imports, premium plus products, and, you know, other domestic specialty products that are priced above the premiums and premium lights. And when you look at, you know, market data, you can see places now where, and the Beer Trade Press has reported on this fairly extensively, you know, parts of California, you know, Front Range of Colorado, where when you add those things up, those high-end groups, so not premium lights, which have dominated the U.S. beer market, are now 70% of dollar sales in many markets. And that's an off-premise, and you would expect an on-premise where the high, you know, higher-priced brands, I won't say high-end, higher-priced brands tend to do better. It may be even higher. So, you know, I talked about that in the context of one reason that we've seen slowing growth. If you have a market where 70% of sales are already going to, you know, these higher-priced products, it's going to be hard to grow that segment of the beer market anymore. And, you know, I think that's some of what we're seeing is that, you know, these markets aren't up and coming. They're up and come. And so, you know, yes, maybe there's new opportunities to grow, but it's by expanding, you know, beer occasions into beer and food, into fine dining, into new places. And, you know, we're not going to get growth just from trading up anymore, which is what we've seen in the past.
I think it's a good question.
Okay.
The important point is that no one company is the high end for beer.
Right.
All right. Let's go to a question in the room.
John Wiegand with MIBiz. Just taking you back to the offensive marketing real quick, kind of beyond the stipulations laid out in the new marketing guide and some of the stuff around awards, are you guys prepared to do any other kind of enforcement measures, maybe screen for applications to join the association, anything like that?
It's being discussed amongst our board, but at this point I would say no, not at this time.
But to further flesh it out, the review panel, if and when they weigh in on these issues, those reviews and that discussion will be published on brewersassociation.org in weighing in on a decision on if they felt it in the end was sexually explicit or derogatory.
That's just for the awards, right? Not, they can still be like a member of the Brewers Association.
At this time, that's correct.
Justin Kendall with Brewbound. I want to follow up on that because something's not translating to me. Why even allow someone with an offensive or sexist label into the association and on top of that to participate in your award ceremonies and if they win to potentially celebrate them? I mean, they may not be able to use, you know, the VA's, you know, licensed trademarks, but, you know, you're still celebrating them should they win.
I left out, I'm glad you asked that question, I left out an important point. If a brewery with an offensive name or label were to win an award, we would not read that name from the stage.
So why go, you know, the extra effort and let them participate?
You know, it's a sensitive subject, right? I mean, you know, pornography, right? You know it when you see it. You know, First Amendment rights. It's very complicated. You know, we want to, you know, we want to err on the side of tolerance. It's not going to be black and white. There's a subjective element to that, and as an association, you know, we're going to try to find ways to be inclusive, but at the same time, you know, we do want to take this step. You know, we think it's the right thing to do. We think it's it shows us the leadership that we think is needed, but it's going to be sticky. It's going to be hard.
If we're going to continue the discourse, I want you on the microphone. That's I'm not cutting you off. You're welcome to step back up. He's coming back up to the microphone. Can't resist, huh?
That's all right.
So, I mean, is that something you're willing to, like, revisit and relook at and go this step further, you know, as this evolves?
Excluding companies from being members of the association is fraught with all sorts of legal implications. So at this point, are we prepared to deny breweries with offensive names to be members of the Brewers Association? No, we're not.
Okay. Well, there's no provision in our bylaws to exclude brewery members.
Okay. Thanks for taking the time.
Of course.
Hi, Annie Toby, freelance writer based in Virginia. Still on the diversity question, but taking it in a totally different direction. Knowing that much of your goal is helping craft breweries to sell more beer,
very good.
Have you thought about also addressing age in your diversity? Not that brewers are ever offensive, but it's such a market that really is less tapped than the millennials and getting up to the 45 and up group. There are a lot of drinkers. There's a market there. Have you thought about including some way reaching out to that market?
I think our diversity committee will be looking at all demographic groups. You know, I think what the phrase now is what, you know, it's the changing of the American demographic. It's the minority majority, right? I mean, you know, you've got, you know, more Latinos, you know, more women, more aging baby boomers. So absolutely, we will include everybody. I'll be the lead person of that demographic.
and I'll jump in and add too. I mean, you know, one of the things we try to provide our members is market statistics, and you know where we see those opportunities. I mean, Lester Jones from the MBWA and I presented, you know, several times yesterday, and one of the slides we showed is, and it's a pretty small change, but was 70 plus. You can see the index for spirits has been going down in recent years, and for beer has been going up. And you know, there's going to be a lot more 70 plus adults going forward as the baby boomers age. So. You know, certainly, you know, we want to invite people to the beer party and where there are opportunities, you know, sell them on the merits of beer.
Yeah, from one data point, they're about 10% of the population for 21 plus, and it's definitely viable. I mean, our marketing is open to all genders, all age groups, all race. Craftbeer.com, really, I think, in showcasing our diversity of brewers, too, you see who we're showcasing is such a wide variety of age groups, too. So love the question. You got to start somewhere, and I think 2017 is a great year that we're taking steps, but good one to keep in mind. And question in the room? You are next, sir.
Warren Wills, AmericanCraftBeer.com. I wanted to revisit what Paul brought up during the general session regarding cannabis and the states that it's been legalized. As somebody coming from Oregon, obviously it has a huge impact on our economy. So I wanted to revisit that since you hadn't brought it up here at the press conference, and also wanted to know if there's been any internal discussion at all at the BA about it, in addition to if there's been any start to gathering statistics on that?
I'll jump in and say, you know, I did publish something on BA.org a few months back, you know, looking at the preliminary data. So you can go and find that. It's in the insights and analysis section. And, you know, my preliminary finding was that we haven't seen an effect. You know, the beer per capitas in states where we've seen marijuana legalization have followed similar trends to what was going on before. Some of them have declined in beer per capita, but beer is declining in per capita consumption all across the country. It's certainly one of many things that we'll be looking at in the market going forward. I mean, you know, the overall, you know, share of refreshing beverage space is, you know, also something, you know, I look at and spend time thinking about. So, you know, marijuana is one of many factors that we'll be considering. And, you know, there's a lot of things to keep in mind here, and that article lays out some of them. But, you know, some of the sales statistics you see, that's not necessarily new demand. That's black market moving to, you know, a more legalized market. You know, we're seeing prices come down in marijuana in some of the states. So, you know, even if you know, people are using cannabis slightly more, you know, their actual disposable income may actually be going up because, you know, if price drops outweigh, you know, increase in demand, then you may actually see more consumer purchasing power. You know, the studies on this are very mixed on complement versus substitute. So it's something we're tracking, but it's not something we're focusing on outside of all of the competitive threats and business challenges that our members face. And, you know, when appropriate, when we think we have information that will help them run their businesses better, we're gonna provide it.
We have a phone question next. Oh, we have a in the room. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Tom Chizauskas, yours for Good for Mendels. Good morning.
Morning.
Just a clarification on Georgia. The great state of Georgia did recognize the right for breweries to sell in their tap rooms. It just doesn't take effect until September 1st.
Has the governor signed the bill yet?
Yes.
Oh, he did.
You mentioned that 30% of all beer sold is draft. No, or
30% of what craft brewers produce
is
draft.
Okay. Which implies that 70% is packaged. Any thoughts, plans, ideas on a subcommittee on best practices for packaging?
We have a best practices resources on brewersassociation.org, and the quality subcommittee would be the ones who would, you know, focus on what would be the you know, practices to do there. It hasn't come up as in their discussions yet, but you know, certainly they're very aware of the issues that come through packaging. Dissolved oxygen is one we heard from the main stage today, but you know, it'll get there. It'll get there. You know, we do we've done seminars here on best practices with packaging.
Hi, Dave Jensen, beer47.com. My question is regarding the guidelines for the advertising and marketing, and I was wondering if they will be enforced retroactively. So if there's a beer that won an award in the past that has an offensive name or label, will they be no longer allowed to use the GABF or the BA branding?
This time, that is not part of our plan.
So we're at the last 5 minutes of the presser. Any final questions from the phone or the room? All right. Well, we want to thank you all for your continued coverage of small and independent craft brewers, for attending this event. You should know how to get us as spokespersons, but also through the Rosen Group if you ever need anything. Also, in a busy world, email is tough sometimes. You can always feel free to try to text. And ask for our cell phones if you want that for future reference and quick reference. We want to have a great conference from here, so thank you guys. Get you out of here and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you to the people that also called in on the phone.